Glasses again? Really?
Yeah, I think it's a thing I do now. I think it's a thing now. I think it's a...
You're not being fed topics through the glasses, are you? Some sort of...
Friday. Tell me something interesting to talk about so I can keep my job. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. The Rob Brown Show on the radio. It's the Fan Upstate. I will say, very simply, right out of the gate, Gamecock fans, A, I apologize. I got my ass whooped. Trust me, I heard it more at the house than there's any possibility that you people can give me today.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that a challenge?
No, because it's not that I'm like excited about it, but I do deserve it. All right. I was.
Are you Mahomes in over there? Is that what you're doing with the hands?
I was embarrassingly wrong. If we're keeping it a buck with each other, embarrassingly, I was the Dallas Cowboys of predicting games last week, at least in regards to this one. Not the rest. I nailed everything else. But my goodness, Gamecock fans, I owe you an apology the size of my ego.
I don't think you picked Oregon over Ohio State.
I did pick Oregon over Ohio State.
I don't think you did.
I did. If I didn't on this show, I did on Saturday on Bet for the Cycle.
Okay, so that's kind of, you know, picking one on one and one on the other. That's
no, I did not pick Ohio State on this show. I know for a fact I didn't pick.
No, I may not have you're actively, uncertain.
No, I'll go back and check the tape.
Okay.
But I know for a fact. Let me put it this way. When I put the bet slip down for the weekend, it was Oregon plus 3.5. And I'll tell you why. Because I took the half a point there. And
it was not a good weekend for me as far as football goes. Yesterday, I just didn't really want to watch football because the two teams that I pull for in college football, both kind of the same ending, you know, and one unexpected by Rob, the other expected by Rob.
Yeah.
And South Carolina, wow, a couple coaching choices that I think were the play calling choices that were kind of bad that could have got them the win. But other than that, a pretty big surprise. And a freshman quarterback. I mean, you know.
We're going to be talking a lot about these games, obviously. The primary being South Carolina deciding that. Let me put it this way. On Saturday, I was on the air. I was on Bet for the Cycle on Saturday when the South Carolina-Alabama game was wrapping up.
When did the epiphany happen when you thought, wow, he was right. Last week was just a bad game.
Let me start with this. Everything I said about the Ole Miss game is still true. It's still true. Because remember.
You're right. It was a bad game.
Remember. What I said was, you got hammered in that game because the game plan stank and your discipline was garbage. And those things were true.
Bad game.
Was the game plan good against Ole Miss?
Game plan could have been awesome, but it was not executed. We don't know.
No. We do know.
No, we don't.
It was poor.
If they played the way they did Saturday a week ago, it would have been a different result.
I don't disagree. And I will also say, as a certified knower of ball, the game plan on Saturday was open. It was opened up. They were taking Lenora Sellers and they were mobilizing the offense left and right, not just up and down. They weren't forcing Rocket Sanders into
Sellers.
Throwing the ball. They were opening the ball up to the yes. They were utilizing Sellers, but not in a way that took him out of the game as a throwing quarterback.
They put him in danger that they didn't need to. They should have used their running game as a running game and not him. I think that was one of the main problems because the defense were keying on him. Anytime he got acted like he was going to run the ball, he was getting tore up. That's why you use Rocket Sanders more. And don't they have other running
backs?
They
used Rocket Sanders into
not
the
enough.
Teeth of the defense.
Not enough.
Listen, Bama, not enough. Running into Bama's front four, let me put it this way. Do you know exactly what game most teams – With the exception, because Vandy didn't beat them on the ground either, right? The teams that are beating Bama by taking the quarterback, playing them left and right, and throwing the football down the field towards what I said at the beginning of the year was my number one liability for this team, their defensive backfield, which is not very good. It's fine, but it's not very good. I think what South Carolina did in this game that is to be commended is they opened the offense up and they trusted Lenora Sellers as a passer, but they set him up in the pass game. One of the problems you had against Ole Miss, one of the problems you had against LSU the last couple of times out, was that when Lenora Sellers was being trusted as a passer, it was short, compact passing game with Lenora Sellers standing in a pocket. And the reality is, with a mediocre offensive line, and it is improved, but it's still a mediocre offensive line. With a mediocre offensive line, if you have Lenora Sellers playing the role of pocket passer quarterback, he's going to get hassled. And when he gets hassled, that's where he gets into problems. I go back, and I don't think there's a pass that illustrates that reality better than the interception that ended the game. With the interception that ended the game, and I'll tell you before I break this down, when I was talking with noted Gamecock fan, the person I'm married to, when I was talking with her after the game was over, and we were texting back and forth because I was still on the air, she said, he's got to learn to play better under pressure. And she's spot on with that. She's spot on with that because when Sellers gets hassled, and this is an understandable reality about a young man who just played his sixth game as a starter. He's played six games as a starter. Three of those games have been against Southeastern Conference teams ranked inside the top 15 in America. Half of the games that Lenora Sellers has played in, half of those games are to top 15 teams. By the way, South Carolina is 3-3. All three are against SEC teams inside the top 15. And good ones, right? Not like some years where you've had some garbage teams out of the SEC that get those SEC brownie points that boost their ratings up unnecessarily. LSU just knocked off Ole Miss. Ole Miss is a good team. Alabama's still a good team, right? So you're talking about a quarterback that is six games deep in his career as a QB1, and three of those games are against three very good football teams, like experienced good football teams. So I think that interception that ended the game is a pretty remarkable illustration of what the ultimate problem was. And that problem is that when Lenora Sellers is hassled, and he was on that INT, all right? It was a miscue. I've watched that play after the onside kick. By the way, what a brass stones onside kick recovery, man.
And one of the better executed
that
you've seen in forever. I mean, it was so good.
Yeah. So I watched that the interception that ended the game. Alabama rushed, I think, seven on that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They may have rushed. Yeah, they rushed seven, I think, on that. So they bring seven. Yeah, they bring seven. And what happens is the O-line gets overwhelmed. Rockets in the backfield. He gets flat out run over by a linebacker coming off the outside who has now got a heat seeker beep, 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 beep on Lenoris's chest. And Lenoris just heaves it. Now, there's 11 seconds left on the clock. South Carolina is out of timeouts. What I want Lenoris to do in that situation is know where his out-of-bounds out route is. On the right, on the left, deep, mid, short, I don't know. Wherever it was, you've got a sideline out route on that play. You also got a man to Sellers' left who went 10 yards and sat down, right? Sat down on that 40. There's nobody around him. What I need in that situation, and this is only something that comes with being in the fire, I need him to wing that thing either out to the out route on the sideline or I need him to hit the guy that's underneath and let that guy sprint to the sideline, get me down. If he hits the man standing, butt naked wide open on the 40-yard line, if he puts it in his chest, that dude's diving out of bounds at the 32, 30, 33-yard line, and South Carolina's kicking the football to win the game. A situation I'm very, very comfortable with. But Lenoris in that spot, it is what it is. He's a young man who has played 6 games, 3 of them against some of the best defenses in the country. He panicked. He went with the old bleep it, somebody got to be open down their offense. He winged it to the goal line, and it cost you. Now, Lenoris Sellers also hit some big throws, had some big moments, made a couple of gutsy plays down the line, couple of runs, couple of good throws that put you in a position to be down 3 and only need a field goal to win the game. So this game to me, I will start with the thing that I have to start with, which is Gamecock fans, my bad. I got that one wrong. All right. All the things I said about Ole Miss are still accurate. Your game plan stunk in that game. Your discipline stunk in that game. But my question was, were you going to be able to fix those things before Bama and do so against an Alabama team that I thought was going to come out trying to light the world on fire against you? And you took their best shot and you answered. I thought Dow Loggins' game plan was dramatically better. I thought Clayton White's defensive game plan to limit Jalen. Y'all made Jalen Milrow look regular. Y'all made Jalen Milrow look like another dude. That's a dude who, and it looks like less likely now, but that's a dude a lot of us thought, some of us still think, is probably going to be sitting in on the Heisman Trophy presentation. He won't be winning it because Ashton Jaunte is a freaking dude. But that's a dude we all thought, and he may still be, sitting in New York in the Downtown Athletic Club at the end of the year, as a Heisman Trophy finalist, and y'all made him look like just another dude. Clayton White and Dow Loggins deserve some flowers for the game plan that they put together because it was dramatically different than what we saw you do against the Ole Miss defense and against Jackson Dart. In fact, I suspect the LSU Fighting Tigers have got a thank you card in the mail this weekend to Clay White for putting the blueprint down on how to stop Jackson Dart, because the Tigers were 6.5-point dogs to Ole Miss coming into Baton Rouge on Saturday? And they got Jackson Dart looking like Anakin Skywalker when Order 66 got handed down. My man shows up at the podium in the hoodie with the hood. Did you see it? I sent you the clip of Jackson Dart postgame, didn't I?
I don't think you did.
I'll go find it and send it to you because it's hilarious. Jackson Dart rolls out to the podium. He's got the black hoodie on with the hood pulled down low. And he says the funniest thing ever. He's like, I don't understand how we lost. Like, it's hilarious.
You really changed your name to Rat Daddy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Rat Daddy Fan Club. Let's be clear. The handle is now Rat Daddy Fan Page. It's a Rat Daddy Fan Appreciation Page.
Well, I mean, all that shows up is Rat Daddy. So, I mean, yeah.
Fan Appreciation Page. For sure. For sure. I'll find the Jackson Dart photo and send it to you because it's freaking hilarious. But Clay White and Dow Loggins deserve some flowers because the game plan against Alabama was phenomenal. It was phenomenal. I think that
I see it. I found the video.
Okay. Well, I was about to send it to you. It's my man looks like he's my man looks like he, you better keep him out of the Jedi temple is all I'm saying.
Younglings, beware.
Yeah. I think both coordinators deserve some flowers. I think Lenoris Sellers deserves his flowers. I know there's a lot of people, especially because of that last throw, that are upset and there's no clutch. Yeah, again, he's played 6 games, 3 of them against top 5, top 6 SEC defenses. That's a good kid. It's a good player. And I am going to start with, the whole show is going to start with an apology to Gamecock fans. I hope all of you told me last Friday when we were doing the show, when we were talking about the weekend, I hope a lot of you told me to off and watch that game anyway. and got the opportunity to feel something.
If you didn't watch because Rob told you not to.
You're an idiot. Let's be real. All right, you're an idiot.
I mean,
you're an idiot. If you do anything because I tell you to do it, or don't do something because I tell you not to do it, who's the idiot? The idiot or the idiot that follows the bigger idiot? Right?
Speaking of idiots, turn your brights off, people.
Yeah, that's a problem for you too?
Yes.
Okay.
The whole way today. It's like, do you not realize? So I spend, I'm driving with one hand while the other one is up over the rear view because brights everywhere.
I need you guys to stop. So,
I mean, there's a little indicator on your dash that says your brights are on.
It's blue. I've seen it. I opened the show with an apology to Gamecock fans. I opened the show with an apology to Shano, to that team, because that team had some grit. We're going to hear some audio from Shane and some of the other guys from the presser this weekend after the loss. You should be proud of that performance. Now, what is the word for the past year and a half, 2 years I have been utilizing when talking about this program? The C word. Consistency. Yeah, that's the C word you thought of, obviously. The C word.
You mean what they had through the entire season so far, except for one game?
Two, but again, we'll keep it going. Consistency. Can you take that? Because again, the Ole Miss game, it's not about, it is about the execution for sure. But at the end of the day, you got to have a plan. And you got to have a plan that makes sense, that fits the circumstances, and that works. If I go out and jump in front of traffic and tell you my game plan to stop a moving truck is to push real hard, and I go out there and I get pancaked and turned into a puddle of goo in the middle of I-85, you're not going to come in here tomorrow. You're not going to come in here tomorrow and say, Rob, good game plan. He just didn't execute. No, you're going to go, that was a dumb decision. That was a dumbass move, idiot. You can't stop a truck by just standing. You want to stop the truck? Figure something else out. Put a wall up. Put one of them big yellow things out front of the Walmart up there. That's a bad game plan. I could be the best stand in front of a trucker ever, but I'm not going to win that game plan. The game plan against Alabama was different. And it worked, and flowers shall be handed out today. I don't care if you don't like the phrase. That's a good moral victory. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show continues, opening today with a breakdown of that South Carolina 27-25 L on the road against the 5-1 Alabama Crimson Tide, a team that's only loss came against the Georgia Bulldogs. Nope, scratch that, against the Vanderbilt Commodores. They beat the Georgia Bulldogs, who at the time were the near consensus number one team in America. And I do want to... look at some contextual importance here. I think keeping things in context is something that is a bit of a lost art in, I was going to say sports talk radio, but like just in America as a whole. We just refuse to accept context. So let's talk about this in context. Let's start with What this Alabama Crimson Tide team that South Carolina took to the absolute limit really is. A team that lost to Vanderbilt on the road. Well, I think there's something to be said about the fact, because we all dunked on Bama for taking the L to the doors. Hey, great one. I don't want to shock anybody. You know what Vanderbilt did the next weekend? What we say, there was two things I was worried about. I was worried about Alabama, because teams that get upset inside the top five the next week cover the spread at like an 80% clip. The spread was 21.5 points. I was very concerned. And then on the flip side, Teams that do the upsetting ordinarily the next week don't cover the spread. It's almost the exact inverse. If you have a team like a Vanderbilt that gets a win like an Alabama, and they got to go on the road next week specifically, ordinarily, they do not cover the spread. And I know that most of you guys, I got a text last week that's like, Rob's incapable of looking at football through a fan angle. It's always through the betting angle. Well, it's because nothing's more neutral than the betting angle.
By the way, that's not true.
And also, it's not true.
Yeah, it's not true.
It's absolutely not true.
He's just obviously hiding it from some of you.
No, I think as I say all the time, the philosophy of the show is when I sit in this chair wearing these cans behind this microphone, my job is not to be a fan. It's not to come in here and rah-rah, shish, boom, bah. If you're a fan of a team, you already know all the places you can go to have everybody kiss your butt and tell you how amazing you are. My job is to tell you what's real.
Unless you're a South Carolina fan, where this is probably the only place you're going to get some positivity.
That's also true. And you are going to get
mostly,
some positivity.
Mostly from me, but today from Rob.
No, you'll get it. You'll get plenty of it from me today. So that Vanderbilt team that beat Alabama, and you know the next week, inevitable letdown, right? You exhausted yourself. You let everything go.
Season's over. You beat that team that no one thought you could.
You won the Super Bowl, right? You just had the biggest win in the history of your program. You're going to lay it down the next week. All they did, great one, was go out to Lexington and beat the Wildcats next week. Turn around and beat Kentucky.
Did they? I've never found myself going to look for the Vanderbilt
score. The Vandy
score? Yeah, so I didn't know.
Yeah, 20-13, they went out to Lexington. And by the way, hey, Mr. Culture Change, how's that culture change going for you out in Lexington, Kentucky?
Says the guy who's wearing sunglasses.
I mean, it's almost an homage to that, right? Like, this is our culture.
You know what you're going to do, by the way. You trying to be like Bono and Elton John and some of those guys?
Bono! Of all the celebrities that wear sunglasses in the nighttime, you're giving me Bono?
Should I have said Roy Orbison?
That would have been cool.
Except to think he was blind. Well, I mean, you know.
Pretty woman.
But I think you're gonna hurt yourself by doing that. That's all I'm saying. I mean, I'm a concerned person for you.
I can't believe you hear the truth. No one can look at.
Does everything look blue coming out of that?
Mercer. Yeah, it does. It absolutely does.
See, that's so you're gonna.
The world's got a blue tint.
Yeah, you're gonna have a problem when it doesn't have a blue tint anymore. When you take those off.
No, we're good so far. I got the red ones coming Wednesday. I got red ones too. I got red ones, and when the orange ones goes back in stock, I'll get those too. I'm gonna have one for every outfit, bud.
Why would you get orange? You don't ever wear orange.
Swamp Rabbits wear orange this year.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Swamp Rabbits wear orange this year. So
do they have round ones?
You know what? I'm gonna look for you. You'll wear them if they're round?
Yeah.
Yeah. Team sunglasses when it's dark outside. All right. We've got we've got this Vanderbilt team that all of the sudden Clark Lee has that loss to Alabama looking like, yeah, it's still a bad loss. Let's not pretend that's not a bad loss for Bama. But after they turn around the next week, the week after the most emotionally exhausting game in the history of Vanderbilt Commodore football, they go on the road to take on the Kentucky Wildcats. They go on the road to knock off Stoopsie's Kitties. I mean, that's a... In retrospect, pretty good win, right? And then there's South Carolina. We mentioned 3-3. And to me, I look at it this way. That is, whether you like to acknowledge that these are real or not, that is a good moral victory. I know a lot of you don't like those words. But it is what it is. You went on the road to a team that America thought was going to line you up and squarely decimate your program, and you went on the road, and granted, let's keep it a buck here, it looks a lot more compelling because of the successful onside kick recovery. 90% of the time, Bama gets that ball. It doesn't look as close as it looked, but you got the onside kick. You went out there, you executed.
Can't we call it a building block on your way out of the hole?
That's my question.
Yeah, I know you got to look and see what they do next week.
Yeah, because again, the problem that I would argue has been what I would describe as the primary problem for Shane Beamer's entire tenure is a lack of consistency in performance. That's been the problem. You've had plenty of games like this one. You've had plenty of games like this one where you come out and you look great. The offense clicks. You put some yards up on the table. You go, uh-oh, maybe this team found a little something-something. And then you turn around the next week and it's like, oh, they lost it. They found a little something-something, and then they lost a little something-something. Where'd the something-something go? Y'all know where they put my something-something? I can't find my something-something. Like, that's been the problem. And so my question mark is, because, hey, you remember how we said going into last week, you better look the hell out because Alabama just got embarrassed and they are going to want to defend themselves. They are going to want to go on the offensive. And we said that because they lost. Not they lost. They got embarrassed. Guess who you play on the road this weekend? OU. OU. Oh, crap. OU got the hell beat out of them this weekend by their rivals in Texas.
Ohio University from the MAC?
That's the one.
Okay, that's OU.
Go Bobcats. The Oklahoma Boomer Sooners this weekend, who lost 34-3 to Texas. And by the way, Texas was like just okay this weekend. Quinn Ewers, for the first half of that game, looked like he had never touched a football
He's
before.
He's coming back from injury.
I agree. Yeah. I understand. But Quinn Ewers...
Probably you would think the pressure of knowing your backup did pretty well while you were gone would make him play a little bit better. But
Arch did do pretty well. But still, that's supposed to be a guy that's going to the Heisman run. Oklahoma got thoroughly embarrassed in this game by Texas. 34-3, and it wasn't that close. So now my question is going to be, and I don't think that this is a fair one. I don't think that this is me engaging certified hater mode. Can you do the same thing again? Can you go up against a team that on paper is more talented than you? Go up against a team that on paper has outperformed you. Can you go up against a team on the road against that team? Can you weather the storm of them wanting to make a point, to prove a point, and compete in that game? What did I say against Ole Miss? I said it against Alabama. I said it against LSU. To me, eventually you want the wins. Eventually, games like LSU, games like Ole Miss, hell, games like this one against Alabama, eventually, those have to start turning into dubs. Yeah, eventually, a bunch of close L's aren't going to get it. But can you compete? Can you show that last week was the reality, not Ole Miss? Can you show me that last week was who your team is, not 2 weeks before that? Because if the answer is yes, now I got something. Now I'm feeling a hell of a lot better than I did 2 weeks ago. Texas said, I think the Bama game makes the Ole Miss game look like the fluke rather than the Kentucky and LSU games looking fluky. I agree with you. It does look now like South Carolina's loss to Ole Miss was the fluke, not the other ways around. Can you sustain that? Back after this on the Rob Brown Show with the Fan Upstate.
You're not going to wear those tomorrow, are you? You are, aren't you?
I haven't ruled it out.
Oh.
They match the shirt. They match the polo.
Wow.
I haven't ruled it out. I'm going when the show ends today. So we have school picture day tomorrow. Okay? The whole building, it's school picture day tomorrow.
See, you can sell it as that, and I've thought of that too, but at the same time, it's a GQ photo shoot, man. You had to book your time. You get a full half hour.
Oh, yeah.
You get to bring multiple outfits.
Props.
It's as close to a GQ photo shoot as we're going to get.
Yeah, it's school picture day, but it's photo shoot day for sure.
I've done them before in the past. They're always fun, and unless you're like me and you've put on a lot of weight and then you don't really want to do it. But I'll still have fun with it anyway.
So they've booked, and from my understanding, the way it's going to work out is that I'm going to go in there. I'll get like 15 minutes of individual photos. Then Zoe and I will have like 15 minutes of team pictures, and then Zoe will have 15 minutes of photos, or flip them around, whatever order, but it doesn't matter.
I think we actually have the full hour. I think
dope.
You booked a half hour, and I booked a half hour at it.
All right, after perfect. So it's going to be like 20 minutes of one, 20 minutes of the other, 20 minutes of us both. And they'll send us two pictures back to use. All right.
And they'll be the two that we don't want.
Correct.
Yeah.
But the point here is school picture day tomorrow, and I'm trying to decide if I make the, as my wife called them, Jeffrey Dahmer-esque glasses.
I can see it.
I think, you know what,
especially
I'll do?
When you go with the red. It's going to be interesting.
I got red and yellow coming. And when they come back in stock, orange too. We're going to have the full spectrum of colors here. You know what I do, Zoe, is I do every picture twice. I do every pose twice, one with, one without, and then we'll decide if I keep them as part of the uniform or not. I haven't decided yet.
And I just want to know if they can airbrush me thinner. That's all I want to know, which is they can't.
So we'll see how school picture day looks tomorrow. I think they might be part of the vibe now. We'll see. Kevin jumps on the live stream, which you can too, at facebook.com/thefanupstate, at facebook.com/therobbrownshow, at YouTube, The Rob Brown Show, at YouTube, The Fan Upstate, or any of us, on Twitch, and then you can tweet any of us, should you elect to do so. You can tweet any of us at The Rob Brown Show, at Lonzo on Word, at The Fan Upstate. All the different ways to get in touch with the show. But come watch the live stream on Facebook, The Fan Upstate or The Rob Brown Show, on YouTube, The Fan Upstate or The Rob Brown Show, or The Rob Brown Show on Twitch. Kevin chimed in and said there are no moral victories in FBS 1A football. As my good man Mark Ryan says, that's loser mentality, .. That's Gamecock mentality, ..
I can't tell if that's sarcasm or if that's just... Or
yes, he's calling Gamecock fans losers.
No, are you sure he's just not being sarcastic and making fun of the person who is his good man?
No, I...
Because, we read these things a certain way and sometimes we're wrong and are actually just being sarcastic about that person.
No, I think he's being genuine here. But well, let's address it for the
sake
of... It
wouldn't be sarcastic about that person because he has those takes. That's all he has is hot takes.
For the sake of the conversation and the sake of the fact that I know for a fact that there are a lot of people with that thought process, let's address it, assuming that it's real. He does pop up and say, definitely not sarcasm. So, which is exactly what I'd say if it was sarcasm. Definitely not sarcasm. But...
So you're still playing us, Kevin, because there's no way that you would listen to that guy and go, that's my man. I mean, what's that say?
For the sake of the conversation, let's address this take as being deadly serious. There are no moral victories in FBS 1A football. As my good man Mark says, that's loser mentality. That's Gamecock mentality.
Are there in lower levels of football? How about in NFL? So it's only... FBS 1A.
I don't care if you are talking peewee, middle school, high school, FCS, FBS, Division II, Division I, the NFL, Arena League, Euro League. I don't care what you're talking about.
The XFL, UFL, whatever that's called now.
The USFL, the regular UFL, the XFL, whatever league you're talking about. I disagree with that take. And the reason why is... Greatness does not occur in leaps. It occurs in steps. Greatness is not something that one day you're bad and then the next game you're excellent. Greatness is something that is achieved step by step. It is achieved milestone by milestone. And one of the things that you will learn, I've told you guys before, and I'm not shy of it. I am not ashamed of it. In fact, I'm quite proud of it. I have been to and through therapy in the past. In fact, that includes right when I moved here. I had a real bad go of life before I ended up here. And one of the lessons that I was taught, one of the things that has stuck with me through therapy, was how important it is not just to set goals and not just to work towards those goals and not just to knock those goals down, because it is important. Set them, move towards them, knock them down. But the most important thing you can do in order to continue to achieve more goals is make sure that you take the time to recognize and to celebrate your milestone achievements. Not even necessarily just when you tick off a goal, but when you make progress, to say, hey, I have made this progress. I have gone a step in the right direction. I am pointed on my way, and I have accomplished something. Now, in the grand scheme of things, 5, 6, 7 years from now, if the Gamecocks are in the same place they are now, are we going to look back to October 12th, 2024, in a loss to Alabama? Are we going to look back at that game and go, wow, what an accomplishment? They went to Tuscaloosa after an L to Ole Miss. They went to Tuscaloosa against a Crimson Tide team that had lost to Vanderbilt the week before, and they only lost by 2. No, we're not going to say that. But let's look at this a different way. What if South Carolina takes everything that they learned in this loss to Alabama, and next week they go on the road and they do beat Oklahoma? And let's say that they take everything they learn in this loss to Alabama and they go win a close game against Oklahoma. And then let's say they come back to the Hizzle on November 2nd. And let's say they knock off Texas A&M and they have back-to-back wins. Then will you look through your Gamecock-tinted glasses back at this Alabama game and say, there was something there. There was something there. We learned something in that game. We took a step in the right direction in that game. Because to me, the answer, theoretically, hypothetically, would be yes. And so to me, it is important to look at what happened on Saturday and not just look at it and go, wow, we were competitive. Wow, we made Rob Brown look like an idiot on the radio. What an accomplishment. It's not. I do it every day. But man, we went and we competed. What it is important to do is look at that game and say, we accomplished something on Saturday. Not the win, not the ultimate objective, but we accomplished something. And to figure out all the things that you did in that game that let you accomplish that thing, that let you turn the narrative that you were going to get your ass kicked into, you had Bama fans sweating bullets at the end of that game. Sweating bullets. So how? What do we do right in that contest that we had Bama fans sweating bullets? And you take those things and you grow on them and you take them into this week's practice. And then you put them into play against OU. And if you go get the win against OU, you're looking back at that Bama game. You're looking at the parts of the game plan that worked. You're looking at the part of the run-up to the game that worked. You're looking at all the disciplinary lessons that went into play from the Sunday before until Saturday at noon. You're taking all those things, and now that becomes what you do. That becomes part of who you are. That becomes part of your game week preparation. And all the things that you did leading up to the Ole Miss game, those go away. That's not your identity. That's not part of your game day run. That's not part of your game week setup and preparation. You get rid of all of that and you look at it from the perspective of Bama week. And if you take this and you turn it into a win on the road in Norman, Oklahoma, that Bama loss, even though it is a loss, that Bama loss suddenly becomes not a win, but a milestone. And if 2 years from now, South Carolina is genuinely competing in the Southeastern Conference, is genuinely in the road to be, even 2 years from now, let's say a fourth or fifth team with the shortest odds to get into the SEC title game, this Bama game becomes a platform, a launching pad for that momentum to that spot. Now, if you come out this weekend and you stink against OU, the Bama game means not a damn thing. It means nothing. But if you come out this weekend and you take all the lessons that you learned and you take all the preparations you went through that had you ready for this game because you were ready for this game and you put them into play against Oklahoma and you go get that dub against Oklahoma, now all of a sudden Bama isn't a moral victory, it's a milestone. Now all of a sudden, Bama isn't a moral victory. It was a moment where something shifted within this program. But it only matters if the C word is said. Consistency. If you are consistent from last week to this week, then it's a milestone. If you are inconsistent, you come out and you go back to the same game plan you had against Ole Miss, you go back to disciplinary issues, then what happened Saturday doesn't freaking matter. So the question for the Gamecock fans is, will your team show consistency from last week to this week? And if so, then now all of a sudden, it's not just a moral victory, it's a milestone on the path to success, not just a glimmer in the distance. Speaking of consistency, if South Carolina comes out and performs with a consistency that Lonzo performs when he excels at sports flashes, you'll win the rest of your games.
By the way, Kevin, a lot of orange on your profile, and Mark doesn't like your team.
Oh, you went creeping.
The new AP Top 25 poll is out, and three undefeated teams stand on top. Texas stays at number one, followed by Oregon, Penn State jumps to number three, followed by Ohio State and Georgia. Miami, Alabama, LSU, Iowa State, and Clemson round out the top 10. Carolina Panthers fell to 1-5 with a 38-20 loss to the Atlanta Falcons yesterday. Andy Dalton went 26 of 38 for 221 yards with two touchdowns and two picks. Kirk Cousins went 19 for 225 yards and a touchdown, while Atlanta racked up 198 rushing yards and three touchdowns on the ground. Carolina visits the Washington Commanders this Sunday at 4:05. Tune in Saturday at 12:30 as Furman Paladins take on the Western Carolina Catamounts. Furman versus Western Carolina. Right here on your home for Paladins football, The Fan, Upstate.